Audio Drama Production Podcast.
I'm Matt Boudreau.
And I'm Austin Beach. You're listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Austin and I met Jessica Rainville last summer at a party at Steve Schneider's place in Methuen, Massachusetts. I love parties like this because they offer a chance for audio professionals to get together and talk and inspire each other, and they make room for collaboration. Since that party, Jessica has teamed up with audio drama veteran Rick Coast to produce an ear-fetching audio drama entitled Chris, a crime audio drama based on real-world events. I loved listening to Chris, and I think you will too. I highly encourage you to check out the podcast that Jessica and Rick have put together. It's got great storytelling, great sound, and a unique premise. There's a whole lot there worth listening for. Austin had the good fortune to sit down with Jessica to talk about Chris and her process for telling fictional stories from real-world events. Here's that interview now. Take a listen.
Today, I am talking with Jessica Rainville, creator of Chris, a new audio drama that just came out recently. Jessica, I'd like to talk to you about turning nonfiction into fiction.
All right.
How are you, by the way?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, thank
you. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I listened to your first episode a couple of days ago when you sent it to me, and it's fantastic. I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. The next episode is coming out on this Tuesday. We have an every other Tuesday release.
Nice.
Make sure you listen all the way to the end for a little Easter egg.
Oh, okay, cool.
At the end of every show.
Nice.
But yeah, so the premise behind my audio drama is that I took an actual cold case and I turned it into a fictional series that basically it just uses the image of this man who was found in the woods as kind of the basis for it. Kind of like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Girl with the Pearl Earring.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was basically like that kind of idea where, you know, I took this image and I wrote a fictional story based off of it because there was a lot of true crime audio dramas and there's not a ton of fictional audio dramas and crime audio dramas. And so I kind of wanted to like combine the two of them into like one thing because I hadn't really seen anything along those lines at all as far as audio drama was concerned.
So then you basically just took the premise of the actual cold case. So you used all your own fictional names and everything like that for your characters.
Exactly. So the story is that a private investigator from New York City finds out about the case because she has a cousin who was murdered as a child, and a private investigator ended up solving the case. So that's why she became a PI. So to her, you know, these cases that are cold and unsolved, it's heartbreaking for her to know that there's a family out there that, right, you know, they're missing their relative, that, you know, someone's missing this person. And so for her, this is a case that just speaks to her heart. And in New York, all she's been really working on is like, you know, the run of the mill, like my spouse is cheating on me cases. So her boss sends her to Maine to investigate this case as a way to expand what she's doing, because she's really been looking for something more. And when she gets there, so she's like, the very first opening scene is of her and this Tinder date. And so that's kind of like the thing, like her little quirk is that she's obsessed with Tinder and she's obsessed with one night stands. So like, that's kind of how she ends up, you know, doing some of her investigating.
Nice. What led you to that particular cold case to begin with?
Well, I was looking for something local in Maine. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to like Google and see if there's any cold cases in Maine. And there was. It was in Stacyville. And it was a man who was found in the woods. So I want to say like they found him. They've been like, you know, 4 or 5 months, 6 months, something along those lines. And he was badly decomposed. They don't know who he is. They didn't have anything identifying him at all. But it was like really weird where he was. So in Stacyville, Maine, it's like very, very rural. And a couple of hunters did find him. And he was like walking around with a briefcase that had like empty apple juice bottles in it, an extra sweater. So those things that I mentioned in the audio drama are actual real things. And then he's like wearing all this high end clothing from Cape Cod. So the premise is that he maybe had some money, and then he just had a knit hat that said Chris on it. Like, that's where the whole thing, that's where the name came from, Chris. Like, the hat literally is a blue knit hat that says Chris.
What are your plans for the series? How do you have, is it going to be a one season? Do you have multiple seasons in mind?
I have two seasons. The second season has already been written, but I want to do a rewrite of it. Season one is fully recorded. It's, you know, we've just released it after 2 years of me working on it. And I also want to mention that Rick from Modern Audio Drama was also involved with this podcast. So
I was just about to ask you to talk a little bit about working with Rick Coast. He's fantastic.
Yes. Oh my God. So he kind of like intertwines in all of this. So I'll kind of like jump off of this question a little bit and kind of give a whole background, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I started working on this like 2 years ago because Rick had cast me in several of his audio dramas. So I played Charlie in Charlie's Mailbox, and then I played Crystal in Water Guns and Rainbows. And then I've done a few other, you know, smaller characters for him here and there. Like when he's like, hey, like, I need this voice, do you mind? And it's like, no, of course not. So, you know, we've always had a great relationship that way. And I finally said, you know, I think I want to write my own audio drama. And he was like super supportive. So I started to like get an idea, and then I got stuck. And so for like 6 months, I didn't really work on it until I took a writing class. And then all of a sudden, I like the dam broke, and I wrote the entire series, two seasons, in like a month. And
wow.
Yeah, it's like 150 pages total, I think. And season two still needs to go through its rewrite. But through all of it, Rick, you know, did all of the, you know, did all the proofreading and gave me a bunch of information. He was there at the reading of the script. He helped me cast all the characters. So he's really and he did also the editing too for me, because there was no way, if I did all the editing myself, there was no way it was going to get done.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's been literally there throughout the entire process. So he is one of the executive producers of the show. And since I've worked with him so much as a voice actor, and, you know, I was kind of like going into this whole thing without any idea what to do, his help was, there's no way I would have done it without him. No way. He's amazing. And his writing is amazing too. And
absolutely.
And if anybody's listened to any of his shows, which I'm sure your listeners have.
I'm sure.
I mean, you'll see that him and I have very similar writing styles too. So I think that might help too with, you know, if you like his stuff. Mine's not PG at all. His is more family oriented. Mine is not. So just keep that in mind. But like, our writing styles are very similar. That's why I fit in a lot of his scripts.
How long was the process as far as getting everything recorded after your casting?
Oh my God. So that took a long time because I recorded a lot of the people in my own studio. So, okay. Like, trying to get people here was, you know, scheduling-wise and everything was sometimes really hard. I ended up recording my stuff at a different studio. I did not record my own work. So I did that at Sonic Forge Studios in Somersworth, New Hampshire. Nice. And Aaron over there was amazing. And so what he would do is he recorded all of my lines separately and then exported them, so I did not have to split them, which saved me so much time. Oh my God. Like splitting the lines because I was recording everyone myself for the most part. There was a couple of people who could record themselves and that was great, but I did most of it here. So I had to do that. I had to split all those lines and then get them over to Rick. And then there were a few times I did have to go back and re-record a couple of things here and there, too. So that kind of took a long time. So that process, I want to say, I had the read through in July of last year, and my intention was to have the show out by like November, and that I didn't make that by a long shot because they just released it last month.
Hey, it happens. I understand that for sure.
Yeah, especially where this is just such a new process for me. And at one point, I got like really frustrated with myself because I was having such a hard time doing my own lines and then trying to split them and everything. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I doing? Like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Like, I got really discouraged with myself. And then I'm like, no, I have to keep plowing through. Like, there's a lot of people who have helped me with this, who've made donations, who donated items for me to raffle off so I could afford to do this. Like, nice. I can't let these people down.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because this is something that I don't want to say I necessarily struggled with, but I did have issues with in the beginning. For instance, when you're recording lines for, you know, someone else's show or whatever, you know, a script that was given to you, it's completely different for me anyway, than recording lines that you yourself have written. Do you have that same issue?
Yes, I do, because like, when someone else is depending on you, it's a lot easier to motivate yourself.
Absolutely.
And then also, like, some of the stuff that I wrote was, I'm guessing this is this a PG? Is this a PG podcast? Like, do I need to watch my language?
not necessarily, okay. No.
Okay, well, I'm gonna try to watch. I almost just dropped an F-bomb, and I was like, wait a minute, this isn't my show. I don't know if I can do that or not, so I'm going to try not to do that.
Feel free. If later on I decide to, you know, bleep it out or whatever, then whatever.
Okay.
But feel free to say whatever you need to say.
Okay, well, because I wrote some kind of messed up things. Like,
yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, I have to read that. And then, and then like, I am recording some other people saying these messed up things. And I'm like, oh man, I'm listening to these people read these things that I wrote. And, you know, I mean, it goes with the story, of course, like it all makes sense once you hear it. And it's not like it's like it fits in. But I'm listening back and I'm like, because you're your own worst critic, you know? And so I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. Absolutely.
I'm like, what am I doing right now? Like, these people must think I'm so crazy. And then to like one of my husband's very good friends, and who also happens to be one of my very good friends, ended up playing the other main character who plays one of the Tinder dates. And it was very awkward. Like, some of the stuff I was like, okay,
I can see that.
Like, I know that you've known my husband for like over 20 years or something like that, and me only like half of that time. But I said, you know, just go with it. So we're in my teeny tiny little studio recording these lines, and I'm like, oh my God, like, people are going to listen to this and then they're going to be like, what the hell? So wait till episode 3. That's when it gets really good.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I said to my husband afterwards, I'm like, I hope you're okay with all this. And he's like, yeah. And he had not read the script, despite the fact that I'd given it to him multiple times to read. He did not read it until the day of the reading that I hosted with all these other people there. And so that's how I actually cast the guy who plays Ian, my husband's friend, was because he came to the reading and I really liked how he read the role. I like spun a wheel. Right. I like spun a wheel, and that's the role that he got. I wasn't like planning on casting him, but he did a really good job, so I cast him. And
nice.
They're like, you know, I'm like, you do realize that like there's some content, and he's like, yeah. So he didn't listen to it until the reading, and so I was like nervous about what he was going to say about it and how he was going to react to some of the stuff I was having these people say. Yeah, it was pretty awkward.
That's awesome.
But like a lot of the characters I cast were like people who were interested in voiceover and had never done it before. So I really wanted to give them a chance to actually give it a shot.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so the girl who plays Maggie, she had never done voiceover before. She was really good. One of my friends from high school, he did a lot of theater and he did some film and stuff back in the day, but he also like produces like how to videos and whatnot. Like he used to work for, oh goodness, why can't I think of it? They do like online stores and stuff like that. He worked for that company that they're a big company too. And I don't know why I can't remember the name of them right now, but that's okay. That's on me. So he like had experience with stuff like that, but he never done an audio drama, and he was hilarious. You know, and then I cast a few people who have done audio dramas before, and you know, so you can actually go to my website, chrispodcast.com, and you can actually check out the cast list there. There'll be people on that list you recognize for sure.
Nice. Well, let me ask you this. So after you got everything recorded, you did Rick also handle all the sound design and everything?
Yeah, he did. There was no way. I had no idea what I was doing. None whatsoever. And
right.
He's
nice.
Amazing well. At that. And he also, he plays one of the characters, too. He's the warden.
Awesome. Yeah, Rick's a good guy. He set up our website for us about a year ago, I guess. Or maybe, no, I guess it's probably been longer than that.
Yeah, I know. He does web design on the side, too. I almost had him do my website, and then I was like, because I do actually enjoy a little bit of web design on the side myself, so I was like,
nice.
I'll just do it. So I did my website, but I love the way that his site is set up. I kind of did like I looked at how he did his as like a reference for mine too, mm-hmm. just because his stuff is just so professional.
Absolutely.
Really clean cut. That was one of the things I was going for on my website, was I wanted something clean. I didn't want it very busy. And and also on the website, there are links to the actual articles that that like talk about the cold case. And there's also a link to it's like NAMIS, I think is what it's called. It's the database for cold unsolved cases. And so you can actually see the information about like what they found. And I go back and check periodically and I'm like, is this still a cold case? Because part of me like really hopes that this podcast gets out there and someone recognizes him.
Yeah.
And, you know, they solved the case. Like, what was it, like the Bear Creek or the Bear Brook case that was just recently solved from New Hampshire? You know, they had a whole podcast about that. So it'd be kind of cool if this podcast gets out there and this cold case gets solved. But I was also hoping that before this came out that it would be solved, just because it's true. It sucks that someone is out there missing and someone must be looking for this person. Someone
Absolutely,
must be
yeah.
like where,
right.
you know, so that's what always gets me about these cold cases is someone's looking for that person. So I hope that this maybe will bring some light to someone, be like, hey, that sounds really familiar.
Right. That's awesome. So, Jessica, this has been great. Tell the listeners again, like where we can find your website, your RSS feed, all the podcatchers that you're available on. And do you have a Patreon account?
I do not have a Patreon account. I thought about it, but this is still so new that I decided I wasn't going to do that quite yet. But I do have a website. It's www.chrispodcast.com. That's C-H-R-I-S. And you can find me, on pretty much any of your favorite podcast listening apps, you know, iTunes, you know, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. I'm on Libsyn, so you can, you know, listen from my website itself if you don't want to download anything. So, yeah, and if you go to chrispodcast.com and go to the episodes page, it'll have links there to where you can download, and also it'll have, like, the feed right there, too.
Awesome. And off the top of your head, since he's your executive producer, do you happen to know the web address for Rick Coast stuff?
Yeah, he's at modernaudiodrama.com.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Jessica, this has been awesome. I appreciate you coming on the show to talk to us.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
In case you weren't aware, the Audio Drama Production Podcast has a Patreon page. If you'd like to contribute to the show, you can donate at patreon.com/ADPP.
Thank you for listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Special thanks to Tanya Milojevic and Scooter Mann.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.